So tonight, we're indeed invited by the Lord to declare ourselves before God, to make this public commitment. And that's what tonight is all about, this opportunity to respond out of our own sense of devotion to the God of such kindness, the God of grace, who's given us everything, who's poured himself out upon us so freely. We know that God is a giving God. I mean, the verse that we had just a few weeks ago, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that we might experience that life, that we might not perish, that we might not suffer, that we might experience redemption, blessing, goodness, kindness, everything that God wants us to experience." And so he's always giving us, giving to us, and wanting from us nothing less than ourselves in return, and this grace and this goodness. Now, the problem is that there are all kinds of myths that kind of float around, things that get in the way of us responding freely to God. One of them is that thought, you know, that we need to earn God's love. And this weekend, we've celebrated yesterday the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And that feast teaches us that, no, it's not the Jansenist heresy. It's not that saying that we have to earn our way, that we have to do all of these things in order to be worthy, to be loved by God. No. Behold the heart that has loved humanity so much. That's what St. Margaret Mary Alacoque heard Jesus say to her. And it's this truth that we will never earn our way, that God freely gives himself. God pours his love and his goodness upon us. All that we need to do is receive. We will never earn our way. We will never be worthy to be before God. A second myth, a second heresy, is that we kind of think that, you know, if we actually obey God, if we put our hearts and our trust in God, if we do what we know that we're meant to do, well, we won't really enjoy life. We won't have that fullness. And yet again, we've seen during these days of Easter that Jesus says from the 10th chapter of John's Gospel in verse 10, "I have come that you may have life in all of its abundance, in all of its goodness." That God is about us enjoying that fullness of life. To respond to God does not mean that we'll live a half-baked life. Does not mean that we won't be able to experience the fullness of what God wants of us. This third heresy, the third myth that often gets in the way, is just this sense that, you know, God is an angry kind of God, that God needs to be appeased, that we need to buy God off somehow. And of course, all of us have become very good at being bargain hunters, at being able to work out the best way to get a deal. And so if we think that, if we think, yeah, God probably needs us to give something back to him, well, we want to do it as the cheapest price possible, don't we? We want to give just enough that we're able to pay God off, but not actually, you know, go out of our way. We don't want to be too extravagant in this. And so all of those things can get in the way of our response to the Lord. And yet, giving to God, declaring ourselves before God, it begins to shape our hearts. It begins to shape the way that we are, our character, our virtue, our whole sense of our identity begins to change when we trust in this, when we believe in this, when we know that God wants us to give. Not because God needs anything. Of course he doesn't. You know, God doesn't need any of these things, but we need to give. We need that spirit of generosity. We need to be able to be free in ourselves, to be able to offer that response back to the Lord. There's this principle that runs throughout Scripture, this idea of the first fruits. In fact, it's in the fourth chapter of Genesis that you first come across this. There's a story there of Cain and Abel, the two sons of the first couple. And we're told that Abel was one who offered animals, that he was a farmer who raised animals. And he brought the first fruits of his crop, the first fat of the animals to the Lord as an offering. But Cain, who was a farmer of grain, he just brought some kind of offering. It wasn't the best. He'd worked out how much he had. He kept all that aside. And then he gave a little bit back to God from that. But then, particularly in the book of Exodus, we see this offering of the firstborn and this offering back to God. This sense that God is the one who's worthy. God is the one who has given himself so completely and so fully to us. If we're able to recognize that this is all gift, this is all that God has given to us, and we offer the very best of that back in worship, that we will be blessed. And then perhaps most famously is in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, this declaration of what happens when you come into the land that you possess, this land that God has given them, everything God has already given to them. And so bring this offering, bring this tithe, bring this first fruits of all that the land has produced, and return it as an offering back to the Lord. So this question is, well, how do I give? What's the attitude of heart that I bring to giving? Is it something that I bring intentionally, or is it just by accident? I mean, practically speaking, you know, have you made the choice before you left home tonight to know, well, there will be an offering, there will be a collectionist, there always is at Mass. Have I got some money in my pocket if you're still one of those people that uses that stuff? Or, you know, was it just what I happen to have left over in my pocket? Is there this sense of intentionality? Is there this sense of planning, of choosing to think ahead about how much I give to God? Or is it just happens to be what I have left in my pocket at the end of the day? And what do I give? What is the way that I respond to God? Is it my best? Is it the very best of what I have? The whole sense of the first fruits is the best of the crop. You know, if you're a farmer who has sheep and your sheep are giving birth, you never really know how many lambs a particular ewe is going to bear. And so when you offer that first lamb that is born, it's a massive commitment that you're making, because you don't know how many more will come. I mean, if she's already had, you know, 5 or 6 lambs, then you're quite happy to offer the next one. But there's something about God saying, no, I want you to give the first. I want you to offer the very best of what you've had. I remember, you know, a few times I've been at the, you know, large kind of functions and where people are ordering food and, you know, everyone is being served at different times. A number of times, for whatever reason, I've been the last to be served, you know, and I'm waiting and everyone else is being served their food, and you kind of say, oh, okay, well, you know, you start, don't worry about me, just, you know, start your food. And then invariably the waiter will, you know, come and realize that they've missed out on me. And there was this one time when everyone else was already most of the way through their food, and the waiter kind of looked at me and said, well, you know, unfortunately, we've actually run out in the kitchen, but look, I'll just get a plate and I'll go around the table and I'll collect up the leftovers, everyone else, and serve that to you. That'll be fine, won't it? Well, no. We don't want other people's leftovers. We want the fresh food from the kitchen. We want the best of what the kitchen is able to provide. And it's no less with God. It's not just the stuff that we have left over that we don't need, we don't use, that we offer back to God. It has to be the first. It has to be the best. And it's not just about our treasure. It's about all of those different elements in our lives. Being involved in the parish, being involved in the wider community, offering our talents, the gifts that God has given to us, serving others and giving ourselves within the rosters and within those boring and mundane things, yet things that teach us and allow us to be formed and fashioned. So all this process of giving takes time, and we have to take those baby steps first in offering this. And so the first thing that, you know, if you're not used to giving regularly to the church or indeed to other organizations, well, the first step is simply to start. Begin to give regularly. Not just what you happen to have in your pocket, but making that decision and that commitment to give a certain proportion. And it has to be a priority. We have to set this as the first bill and to make it something that we don't just have it as the leftovers, but this decision that we make to give the first of what I have, to offer, to return to God as a priority. That's the number one thing that we have to pay. So before you pay all the other bills, this is a bill that is there before us because God has given us everything in the first place, and we never become free until we reach this decision. So giving regularly and then making it a priority. When you read through the letters of St. Paul, Paul is often talking about giving. Indeed, Jesus often speaks about money and things related to finance. It's the number one thing, in fact, that he speaks about, way more than he speaks about prayer or he speaks about virtue and other things. He knows that this is an area where we get bound, where we're not free. And so he's wanting us to experience this freedom. And Paul will give us these directions. He will say, you know, when you get to Sunday, make sure that you've set aside some money to be able to return to support the work of God and the kingdom of God in other places as well. So our giving, in terms of the teaching of the New Testament, has to be two things. It has to be regular and it has to be proportional. The gift of proportionality, that gift of just saying, look, it's not the amount of money that you give. That doesn't matter. But what matters is that we each give a proportion of what we have received. Because that's where this actually begins to affect us, begins to change our hearts. It's in that making that decision to give regularly this certain percentage of our income, of what we have received, and to return it to the Lord. Now in this, of course, we're told in the gospel again tonight, this most common commandment that God makes to us. Do not be afraid. You know, so often we, particularly in these areas, we are gripped by fear. We are gripped by the sense of things that can be just too overwhelming. This takes time. It takes practice. You know, if we have any skills or talents or things that we know that we're amazing at, that we're just excellent at doing this thing, we know that we've learnt that skill. It's not something that we've just picked up in an instant, but we've taken the time to practice this. And so giving, all that takes practice. And so this is something that we need to do. So that first level, this first step, as we're taking baby steps, is to begin to give regularly. So if you're not giving regularly and tonight you simply make a decision to get a set of envelopes or to make that commitment to donate regularly to the church electronically, that's enough for tonight. But if you are already giving regularly, then we can move up to the second stage of this, so we can level up to the second step. So as I said, we need to give regularly and then proportionately. This second stage is, well, not just a kind of a random amount, but to look at your finances, to see what do I earn? What are the things? And all of this is always on the gross amount. It's not after all other deductibles have been taken out. It's not after you've already paid tax and you've already paid rent or your mortgage or anything else. It's the starting point. This is the way of God, just where we start. So work out, what can I afford? How much can I give to the Lord? It's not just our church. I'm not saying you have to give to St. Paul's. I give to the parish, but I also give to Caritas, to St. Vincent de Paul, to Catholic Mission, to various youth organizations and works of evangelization around the country. So it's all of those different areas that we're invited to give. So work out, how much can I afford? And then add 1% to that, to push yourself, to go beyond what this is calling us to begin this stage of really moving in response to the Lord. And if you really want to level up, then the next option is for those who, you know, are well practiced at this. So this is, you know, for people that are trained professionals in this area. The third stage is to tithe. Tithing is this weird principle. You know, I think we used to hear about it a lot in Catholic circles, but it kind of dropped off the radar many years ago, and it's only really spoken about in strange kind of churches. Those strange churches are the churches that are thriving, the churches where people are actually responding to God. You know, one of the characteristics of churches that are places of flourishing, places of life and vitality, is where people give freely and give regularly to the church and to the community because they're involved, because they've been impacted by God. Tithing is something that I heard about many years ago, and I just thought it was the most ridiculous and stupid thing I'd ever heard about. And how could anyone actually, you know, believe this kind of rubbish and practice this? And yet, soon after I was ordained, not straight away, it was a couple of years, but I was praying about all this and praying about my response to God. And I felt this profound kind of conviction from the Lord to begin to do this. Now, as a priest, my income is fairly low, so it's a relatively easy thing to do. So for the first few years, that's all I would tithe on my stipend. And then I realized that was kind of cheating God as well, because, you know, I get things that are provided. So my car is provided. I don't actually see the income, but it's still a form of income, and the house, the food, and all those things that are additional. So over the years, I've realized that I needed to give more and more, and to offer more to the Lord, to be fair to what I'm actually receiving. And again, even though I have a degree in economics and a Bachelor of Accounting, I don't understand how this works. I don't understand how it is that I've been able, through God's goodness, to be generous within this. I don't understand how my finances are as good as they are. But since I've made that decision to give myself to this practice of tithing to my Lord, my finances have just been so good. And I know that part of me doesn't want to say, because, you know, that taint of the prosperity gospel that some of the large mega churches kind of go in for. And yet there's a truth to this. There is this truth that God will be faithful to us. So God loves us, and God wants the very flourishing of our lives. And so to really put God to the test in this area, to trust in this. Inside of the bulletins this week, there is that the parish directory, and then there's a response form. So soon I will invite you to make a response tonight, to look at where you happen to be at the moment. Now, for most of the people in the church, so there's 196 people who are giving regularly to the church, about 60% are giving at that 0 to 5 or 5 to 10 dollars a week. Now, it may be that the total of your income is only $50 a week, and so 10% is $5. That's fine. That's totally acceptable. But if you are earning more than $50 a week, if you are earning more than $100 a week, then being faithful to God, being responsible before God, does require us to be a little more generous than perhaps we've been to this extent. And it is a step-by-step process, so we don't have to magically reach that 10% number. Normally it takes a while for us to be able to have the courage to really put God to the test in this, but to begin this process. So the invitation is to move up one step, to take one more step closer to that generosity that will provide that freedom, that will allow us to be the ones that God has called us to be. But it's not just about money. It's also being involved in the parish and being involved in the community. So lots of our ministries, lots of different groups are in need of more people. And there are so many different ways. There are 41 different groups and activities and events and things that happen within our parish. There's something to suit everybody. So it is this possibility, this invitation that we're making tonight to respond in whatever way. And so maybe it is the time. Maybe that's the thing that you are able to be free tonight to make this response. So there are the different areas of liturgy and the different ways that we can serve within the practice of actually gathering for the Eucharist. And there's opportunity also to say, look, I need to step away from this. That's also fine, and it has to be part of this process to step in and then to step out as our circumstances change and things happen within our lives. And so this form gives you an easy way to be able to identify those areas where you're currently involved, the things that you'd like to be involved in, or those that you need to step away from. And then there's also the different groups and ministries within the parish. And so it's an opportunity just to say, yes, I'm interested in finding out more. So it's not saying, yes, I will sign up for the rest of the term of my natural life to any of these groups, but saying, I want to know more about this in the weeks ahead. And we'll give these lists eventually to the different ministry leaders so that they can make contact with you and help you to make a decision about that group. So there are two sides to the form, so we invite you to complete both sides tonight. So there is that commitment and response form tonight. So how we will do this, I will play just a reflection video first and then a music video to give us some space just to think about our response tonight. We have these baskets here at the front of the church. So this is a public commitment. This is our opportunity to declare ourselves before God. I invite you to complete the form. There are envelopes on the side, so if you're putting your financial information on the sheets and you want a bit of privacy, then you can put the response form into one of those envelopes and then bring it to the front during the music video. So the first video hopefully will be enough time to be able to complete the form. Shouldn't take too long. You don't need to give us all of your details if you've already given them to us, but often we don't have people's email addresses and we don't have their mobile phones, so it'd be good to update our records at the same time. So this is an opportunity just to really respond to the Lord and just to pray and to seek His guidance as we respond together as a parish community tonight.